I know it has been a while. It is good seeing all of you. I enjoy our time that we spend each time that I am here. I enjoy seeing all the many faces who some of you I've known for a very long time and others are very new faces. I'm thankful for the opportunity to come here. I'm thankful for Joe stepping down so that for once somebody a little better than him could preach. You know, you can only make a joke like that when it's not true at all. But I am very thankful for the opportunity to be here. You can see above me that my sermon title will be Take Time to Grow and Sow. And if you know anything about planting or farming, or even if you just grow flowers, you know that it takes time. You don't plant a seed and the next day you see increase or you see the flower. It takes time, and a lot of time. And the verse I chose to start this off is 1 Peter, and that's chapter 2, verse 2 through 3. So that would be, like newborn infants, long for spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. He says, long for that spiritual milk. Desire it. Want it. Like nothing else. Want it so that you can grow up into salvation. Now this is not going to be an extensive lesson. It's not going to be deep. But I do want to point out what Peter says right here. So that you may grow up. It's something that just happens. When a baby is born, unless it passes away, it continues to grow. There's no stopping a human being from growing. That should be us as Christians. There should be no stopping us from growing. We should continue throughout our entire physical lives to grow. So I'm going to use it like an acronym. So as you grow, you gather knowledge. You gather the knowledge needed. And once you gather that knowledge, you can rejoice in the promises that you find in that knowledge that you've gathered. As you're rejoicing, you realize that God has overflowed with blessing. He has caused you to overflow with blessings. He's just giving you so many. And you'll realize that if you are growing as a Christian. But beware, because there will be storms along the way. There will be hard times that you have to face, and we need to learn how to withstand those storms. So first off, gathering knowledge. And I am going to ask you to get your Bibles out. I did not post these verses on the screen, so you will have to turn with me if you don't mind. I know you can barely see that, but there's going to be a little stem growing up in the corner of the screen. So like I said, it all starts with that seed. And all of us should know that already, that it takes a seed. Whether someone planted the seed in you or you're trying to plant the seed, and we'll get to that in a minute. But right now, someone at some point in time planted a seed in you and it started to grow. And it started to increase and it started to produce leaves. Look at Ecclesiastes with me. Chapter 2. In Ecclesiastes, we obviously know that the man who wrote this book was extremely wise. We can read through the whole book, and his whole point is talking about the point of life. And he says it's all vanity. But look in chapter 2, verse 26 says, "For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity and striving after the wind." We are pleasing God, and God is giving us this wisdom and this knowledge and this joy that we need. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 8 says, "Indeed, I count everything lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Now really focus in on what Paul just said. He said he counts everything lost for the sake of knowing Christ. That means to Him there is nothing on this earth more important than that. And that's exactly what we need to think about, especially a new Christian. And this is kind of the context I hope I'm presenting right now. When you're first becoming a Christian, that is the main goal, is to just gain and gather this knowledge. Grow. Get as much of it in your mind as you can. And Paul says he counts it everything as lost. Nothing's going to stand in Paul's way from gathering this knowledge about knowing Jesus. Because why? Because the surpassing worth. It has more worth to Paul, like I said, than anything else. And that's how we need to feel about knowing Christ. That's how we need to feel about gathering this knowledge. So again, the stem will continue to go as we rejoice in His promises. And again, you'll start to see these promises that God has set before you as you gather this knowledge through reading His Word. So you're gathering knowledge, and you start to see what all He has actually promised us. And it'll amaze you. It really will. Just over in chapter 4 of the same book, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Most of you probably know this by heart, and that's a great thing. We should. We should all have this verse memorized, because the essence, just in this short, simple verse that Paul is presenting to you, his attitude about life, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. All the time. It's a blessing. It's a promise that we can have. We need to be rejoicing because of what God has given us. He even says it twice. Again, I say rejoice. Now we're going to flip all the way back to the book of Psalms. Excuse me. Psalms 119. We could probably look through this entire book and see over and over and over the amount of praise and blessings that God bestows upon us. But in this verse, verse 14 of chapter 119, he says, In the way of your testimonies I delight as much in all riches." He counts this as wealth. Just like we saw a minute ago, the worth that is knowing Christ. This is how this is the promises that God has made us that we can rejoice in. The writer of this psalm says that he delights as much as in all the riches. Think about that. And think about this time period. Think about what they would have considered riches. They would have considered riches really their physical, what they owned physically, as far as their head of cattle, their house, their, yes, they would have included money in that. But think about that. Nothing is more delightful than what God has given us, than the many, many promises that God has bestowed upon us. Now turn back to Psalms 19. This is a pretty famous psalm as well, and we actually sing a song that goes along with it. Same word, psalm, song. Psalms 19, verse 8 says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." What God has given us, His Word, His commandments, are what we rejoice in. And again, His promises. That is what we rejoice in. That is what brings us joy as Christians. That is why we are called Christians. We follow Him. We obey Him. We enjoy doing it. It's not something that's painful. Jesus said that it's light. He will come to Him and He will give you rest. This is something we do out of joy, out of happiness to do so, or should at least. That is what is expressed. Now we move on to overflow with blessings. So as you continue to grow, you got to think, at some point you're going to start blooming. You're going to start expanding. So as you're growing, you realize, and again, you realize the promises and you realize the blessings that are those promises. So turn over to 2 Corinthians with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Think about that as a blessing to you. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency and in all things at all times. You're lacking nothing. As a child of God, you are literally lacking nothing. There might be physical things that we think we need or want, but in reality, this says that God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. In every good work. Is that not a blessing? That is definitely a blessing, and that is an overflowing blessing. That is something that God is able to do for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23, it says, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. This is Paul saying, I have become all things. Most of you are probably familiar with this little section at least. He says, I'm to the Jew a Jew, to the Gentile a Gentile. I'm all things to anyone who needs me within God's realm of law. He doesn't go outside the law of God to please people, obviously. But what he says is, I do it all for the sake of the gospel. That's what it's for. For the sake of the gospel, that I might share in it. And share in what? Its blessings. Paul realized that this, and with it, comes many, many blessings. And I hope we all realize that as well. And I'm sure you do. That's why you're here tonight. Now look at Romans. Romans chapter 4, verse 7. It tells us, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. What more do I need to say about that? What more can I say about that? Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. And I'm sure any of you who have been baptized into Jesus and had your sins forgiven and are sitting in this room right now, if I came to you and asked you, what's the greatest thing that you could think of? I would hope that this is what you could say, or would say. Each and every human being alive and of the age has sinned and knows it. Well, I guess I shouldn't say they know it, because some people literally don't know it, but at least us as Christians, we know we have sinned at some point in our life and continue to sin. Think about that in a whole. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds, whose evil deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. They are no more. They are covered. We can look at another verse or verses that where God says He will literally remember them no more. What greater blessing do we have, really? That gives us the chance and the opportunity to one day be with Christ in heaven. I don't really think there is a greater blessing that we as humans can say that we have. Turn over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. It said, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Look up just about three verses. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That is what we who have become Christians, who have taken this upon ourselves to strive towards, have gotten. This is what God promises us. This goes back to the promises. It says, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What that consists of, we might not know until we are there. But every spiritual blessing has been given to us who are in Christ. Don't forget, this is not all fun and games. This is not all happy skipping through a field. The storms will come. Satan is real. He will try to shake you. He will try to flip the boat. We need to learn how to withstand these storms. Turn over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 36. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." So once we've done the will of God, we have to stand strong. We have to endure, have patience, so that we will receive what is promised. Think about it. And then if you read the next verse, "For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But the righteous one shall live by faith." That's what we're doing right now. Think about that though. We have need of endurance. Because again, like I said, if you choose to become a Christian and you choose this life of growing constantly until the day you die, you have to endure. There will be pain. There will be heartache, but we have to endure. Get past this. Stand strong. Paul says it over and over. Other biblical writers say it over and over. Stand strong. It is not beyond us to fall away from this. That is very possible. So stand strong and endure. Also look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him." Again, another spiritual blessing in there. The crown of life will be given to those who stand fast and who stood the test when the time comes. Because, how can we know that? It says, God has promised. God has promised this. So there you go. Kind of all sums up in one right there. You can stand fast, withstand the storm, endure, so that you can rejoice in the promises that God has through those blessings. He has promised that to you. So it starts off with obeying. And again, I said you plant the seed, or the seed was planted in you. You obeyed. That's what you did. You heard it. You believed it. You obeyed it. That's where it starts. The seed starts growing. You gather that knowledge. That's what you need to do, or need to be doing for the rest of your life. Gathering knowledge. You need to be rejoicing. Paul said, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. That is something we as Christians should do. There is no reason we should walk around our lives moping and sad or self-pity or anything like that. We should be happy people. I'm not saying that there won't be hard times, and I'm not saying that you can't cry or anything like that. But we should be joyous people in the Lord. Paul says it. We need to realize that we are literally overflowing with blessings that God has given us. And me and Celia are about to go on this trip to India, and we've been overseas before. Y'all, most of you know this. We see things over there, and we see people who are in much worse condition than a lot of us can imagine. And I'm not saying that to make you feel bad that you're sitting on a cushioned pew. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that those people over there realize, they rejoice in the Lord. They realize that that is all they need. And that is what we need to realize if we don't already realize that. The true essence is all we need is God. All we need is what He has given us. That's it. Is God, His Word, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Those are all we need. And we will make it through this life. There is nothing physical that we need that God will not give us. We need to realize that. We need to always remember, though, that we need to withstand those storms. And it all comes back around to obeying. We obey, we gather that knowledge, we rejoice, we overflow with those blessings, and we withstand those storms so that we can continue obeying. Now we move on to sow. So as we grow up and continue to grow, we need to realize that at some point, or we should have a desire to spread this seed that was sown in us however long ago. We need to realize that at some point we need to take it out and to sow it more. I heard a great lesson this morning at the Baldwin congregation about how to evangelize in different ways. It doesn't mean that you have to have a one-on-one Bible study. It doesn't mean that you have to be the preacher. That's not what it means. When I talk about sowing, there's numerous ways that you can sow the seed. You can say one sentence and sow the seed in someone's heart. Have you ever heard putting a rock in someone's shoe? Something for them to think about? Something for them to chew about? It's not too tough. It's not hard to shake somebody's hand and say, hey, you know, we have church service Sunday night at 5 o'clock. Love to see you there. Maybe they don't come the first 5 times you ask them. Try something else. Try a different method. There's plenty of different ways. Maybe just have them over. Plenty of different ways. So as you sow the seed, you're showing how it's joyful to you. You're showing how it's a blessing to you. Look at 1 Corinthians. And this is the point I want to make to you that's very important. Important. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. We don't need to worry about the growth of the seed. A matter of fact, we can't. Again, it goes back to if you plant flowers or if you farm or anything, there's nothing you can do. Once that seed goes in the ground, you can't do anything else. You can water. You can hope and pray that it grows. But in reality, you can't make that seed grow. So I planted, Apollos watered. Look at verse 8. Actually, let's look at 7 too. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who planted and he who waters are one. And that's another thing. We don't need to act like, hey, I had a Bible study with that person. You stay away. That's obviously not the right attitude to have. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are all God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We water, we plant those seeds. That is our job. That is what we need to be doing as Christians. We need to be taking this and spreading it to the world. So we're showing others the Word. Look at Mark. Actually, we don't even have to turn to this. I hope most of you know this verse. Jesus said, go into all the world. Go into all the world. Go. You know, that could be through Facebook these days. That could be over the internet. I know an incredible preacher who that's all he really does. That's all he does is over the internet Bible studies. That's okay. He's converted a lot of people that way. There is numerous ways that we can spread God's Word. Numerous. So when we think of those words that Jesus said in Mark 16, 15 through 16, he says, go into all the world and spread my word. teaching people to obey the commandments that I have set in place. Look at Romans chapter 1 again. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." If this is what's holding you back, then you need to take a step back and look in the mirror. If you're scared that you're going to get made fun of, or if you're scared that people aren't going to like what you say, you need to self-evaluate. You need to reevaluate your life. If you're ashamed of God's Word, then you need to reconsider a great deal of things. Paul says he is not ashamed because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. If you, you've all heard this, but if you had the cure to a disease, would you not share it? Sin is a disease. And we have the cure. Will you share it? Will you sow those seeds? As we continue on, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." So we get a little bit of insight. We need to always be prepared. That can be a difficult thing. There's numerous questions that you will not be prepared for. I'll go ahead and tell you. And I'm sure most of you already know this. You cannot prepare for every single thing at all. But we need to be prepared to give reason for the hope that is in us. So we need to prepare ourselves to know what to say. To be equipped with what to say. That if somebody asks us the question, "Why do you believe that Jesus died for your sins?" What are you going to say? Are you prepared to answer that question? I would hope so. That is what he's telling us to do. But he gives us a little bit of insight onto how to do that. With gentleness and respect. Obviously, Jesus said, "Let your light shine." He did not say, "Shine your light in someone's face." We need to be gentle and kind and respectful to other people and their beliefs. You're going to run into a lot of people in life who don't believe the same thing you do. So you have to understand that the gentleness and respect are most likely going to be one way that you win people over. That's going to be very helpful in your process to sowing the seed. Look at Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4 with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Be ready in season and out of season. What does that mean? What is Paul telling Peter or Timothy to do? Be ready always, in season and out of season. If the time is right or if the time isn't right, be ready to do these things. To reprove, rebuke, to exhort, and to with complete patience and teaching. That's what we as Christians need to be. We need to be ready to do these things. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What we proclaim, this is what we're teaching. If you had the answer key in school, you would never fail a test. We have all the answers. We have what we need. We need to be growing, like I said earlier, so that we can know when someone asks us. We're not doing this for self. We're not preaching self. We're preaching and proclaiming Jesus Christ who died for the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture. That's what He did. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 through 24, says, For Jews demanded signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. We preach Christ crucified. That's the whole point I'm standing up here. That's the whole point you're sitting in these chairs. That's what we do as Christians. When sowing the seed, we are telling people we hold in our hands the cure to the worst disease you can ever imagine. That's what we're doing. So if you see, and you've probably seen something similar to this, this is your control. What you have in your control, this is your realm of influence. So you have this realm of influence that expands. So, you're doing things as you go through your life that you control, per se. I go to Walmart. I go different places. If I go into Walmart and I get angry and pitch a fit because the line's taking too long, and then someone comes up and says, hey, aren't you a Christian? Is that going to look very good? So, you see, my realm of influence extends beyond me. I influence people. I'm influencing you right now. And believe me, your realm of influence extends a lot farther than you think. People are watching that you don't know are watching. People see you. You don't know who see you. So beware of always of your realm of influence. But then outside of your realm of influence, there's things that you cannot control. I can try to influence you to do something. Whether good or bad, doesn't matter. But you can say no. That is out of my control. That is when it goes into your control. And your influence. So just be mindful always of your control and your influence. As we conclude, let's rethink about what we talked about. So as we grow, as we first become Christians and start this growing process, we gather this knowledge. That should never stop. Ever. We should see the promises that God has made us, and we should rejoice in these promises. We should understand He has promised you heaven. Heaven. How can you not be joyful about that? We should overflow with the blessings that He has blessed us with, and we should withstand the storm. We need that endurance. Remember? We need that endurance. And as we sow, we show others Jesus. That's our whole goal, is to tell people about Jesus through His Word. And that's how we do it, through this. We influence others through our example. So always be mindful of your influence. Always be mindful of who's watching. Always. So as we conclude, I hope that this has been beneficial, and I hope that you take something and learn growing is not an option. Just like children, it's not something we should choose to do. It's just something that needs to happen. It's something that has to happen as Christians. You need to always, continually be growing forward, growing up. And as we sow His seed, we need to remember that is the most important thing we can do. We can take the cure to the worst disease and spread it through the world. If there's anybody here who desires to become a Christian, why not now? It's the best opportunity you can possibly have. Right now. Right now. And if those of you who are Christians just need prayers or need help of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing.